So who REACH is? And Paul sort of hinted at it right at the start, as we were there. We are indeed. It was a River of Life project that started in 2005. Now, Paul, not me, Paul had a vision of setting up a community hub. Interesting, isn't it, really? And that's something we're still looking to do now. And that included a debt project. I know it was Paul who went round and talked to people like the Citizens of Ice and were just getting information. And then, of course, we connected up with Christians Against Poverty. And I was told I probably wasn't the best person to take this on, but that's probably where he got it wrong, probably, but maybe. But God had it overall, didn't he, really? But, sometimes that vision that we get really right at the start, and look what something can happen and grow. And then, of course, we've added additional projects. For instance, we were a debt counselling organisation helping people with debt, around about 30 to 40 people a year. We're now around about 600 people a year through debt and benefit-related food. Client aid, so we're giving away thousands of pounds, not our money, but we managed to source thousands of pounds that we can actually give away to people who really need it. So, it's just grown so much. And like I say, it was 2017 when we became an individual charity. Now, just because we're an individual charity, we'll often say we have a Christian base, a basis, not necessarily a Christian bias. But right at the very heart of who we are is John 10:10. And John, even if you go onto our website and you looked up about us, it would say immediately something along the lines of, we believe that everybody should have a full life. So we're not being explicit, but that's exactly what the ethos is that we really believe that that this Christ who died for us brought this abundant life, and we can experience this abundant life. Now, for some people who we see, they don't necessarily grasp the fact that a relationship with Jesus is the ultimate, but for them, an abundant life might be that they can actually take their kids to Frankie and Benny's and go out for a meal. They might actually be able to put food on the table. For them, that might be the abundant life. But of course, for us, it's that sense of God's peace, the peace that he left with us when he died, that we can experience that Christ-like shalom, that peace of God, which is on offer for us. So that's basically our ethos. We are essentially right at the heart of it, faith-based. It's a Christ-centered, and we want people to experience the life-changing impact that Christ brings. I'm going to show a video in a moment, because, like I say, I realise, that I've, we make assumptions about who we are, so you're probably thinking, I've not even heard of this organisation called REACH, but it's a food bank. We're based in Haverhill, and we've got a number of people that work with us who, obviously we give out food, and we help to try and get to the root of people's problems. So we've got a little bit of a harvest video, and it'll just it's called A Food Donation Journey, and it'll hopefully give you a little bit of flavour about what we do. So if we can take that one away, that'd be great. It's our year end, and really just want to say a massive, that's REACH, so we run from the 1st of October to the 30th of September. And just thank you for your support for us over the last year. We have helped so many people. It has been quite an amazing year. And the reason, you might think to yourself, why are we going through all this? Because it has a purpose, and I'll come to that in a moment. But what a year it's been. A new warehouse at Wisdom. So we on the 25th of September, we were given notice that we had to leave. And so we found that the very next day. I say we found it. I'm sure God led us to finding this. It was quite a miracle, really, that we actually found this place so quickly. So a new, yes, the new warehouse, it did have its issues. You'll probably see there's a lot of food there. I hope you saw the packing room. I'm very proud of the packing room. That was amazing. It cost about £5,000 to build. That's something we had to put in. But yeah, amazing. And it's warm as well. So people it's a bit small, but in the winter, it's actually warm. And it's really snug in that sense. We even had the Royal Navy. So we had some submariners that had come and join us. To move all the racking and remove it from our old warehouse to the new warehouse. It was no easy task, by the way, to say that, you know, moving at this time of year up to Christmas, 3 months, when we collected over 10 ton of food in, you know, and move our current stock, was no easy thing. And so, you know, just miraculously, suddenly, I say miraculously because it was for me, suddenly someone rings up and says, we've got some submariners from HMS Vengeance, or we've got a team from HMS Vengeance. I didn't even know who HMS Vengeance was, you know. So, I mean, they do a good job because basically they live under the sea and they're not supposed to be known or seen or anything like that. So I thought, well, you've done a good job there, guy. I have no idea who you are, really. So, you know, but they came and joined us. There was 9 of them that come and actually, you know, moved all the racking, which was great while I swanned off in London. But anyway, another story. I won't go in there. Oh, too far. Now it's going. There we go. That's the packing room that was being. We had to. It's so much work to do on that. Fire retardant doors, fire retardant paint. If you ever got to buy fire retardant paint, be warned, it's expensive. £130 a pot of paint. We needed 4 of them. It was so much money. It's about £1,000 just to make it fireproof, this building. So, which is much more than what we imagined, anyway. So, and then of course, Mark, do you want to just click on to the next one for me? Just, I loved it. Isn't it great? Where's David Howell? Yeah, it's just, he's not too close to it, that's right. Yeah, so obviously, just to get there to tell you, we opened the warehouse at the end of January, and it was quite an amazing achievement to be able to get that far. Yep, we also moved into room 1. Okay, so people who know what room 1 is, the church used to, you know, we used to operate from room 1, 2 and 3, and then we squashed into room 2, and we had a little bit of 3 as well. But then number 1 came up, and it's a real big step of faith for us to actually take on the extra rent of the warehouse and take on the extra rent of room 1. But God has been incredibly faithful in all of this. Can we go on to the next one, please? New team members. I mean, this is a big step for us. Like I say, we're growing. We're a team of 9 of us now, and probably likely to be 10 very shortly. So we've got Molly right on the young lady at the back there, who's just 16 and joined us from school as an admin apprentice. You know, and it really fits with what we're about, which is trying to, you know, instill some, you know, restoring that dignity, you know, giving hope for the future, you know, improving aspiration, which is great. And you've obviously met Sandra, you've got Philippa in the middle, and Justine on the right. We'll go to the next one, please, Mark. Okay, and a new look resource centre. Again, this is something that's been a long time in the planning, in the presence, and this is all done in the last year. So this costs around about £20,000 to do. So new kitchen, and if you saw the old kitchen, you'd realise that this, it looks absolutely fantastic. This is fabulous. You know, this is important, really, because in many respects, you know, just to say, you know, that we've actually increased our capacity because, you know, we want to see people, we want to help more people. And so providing a 4th space in the middle here means that we can actually see 25%, up to 25% more people. We'll click on the next one. Not the very perfect. So we built an integral cupboard. That was probably the most expensive part that we did. So putting in a cupboard, a food cupboard, which meant we got more space. We'll go on to the next one. And of course, what we've got there, you probably saw the branding on the old, on the resource centre, on that video there of Joe. We've done a rebrand as well, which looks far brighter, doesn't it? It's so much nicer there. And then on the last one there, Mark, there we go. We decided we wanted to do something really big and bold and brash across the wall there. I wanted, you know, Reach Committee projects up there. I wanted to put our values up on there, and I wanted to put what we were about. But when Corinne started painting her, she said, no, that's enough. It took her about 4 hours to put that on the wall there, so, you know, to paint it on the wall. But it does look so bright, so engaging and so colourful. And again, it's all part of the ethos of trying to restore people's dignity, revive hope, you know, that they've got an opportunity to, you know, experience that Christ-like life. Okay, I'll click on to the next one. I don't think I've got any more complicated ones now. Oh, no, so we're all right. That's great. You know, and the reason why we're making such a big deal of the harvest and things like that, because you probably realise, you know, if anybody does maths here, that we actually had in 21.5 tonnes of food last year. I think most of it came in while we were trying to move. But look what went out, just under 25 tonnes of food. So in a sense, it's... so much more food is going out than what we're getting coming in, and you know, it's unsustainable. We're seeing a growth at the moment of around about 25% in what we did last year. We have never, ever, ever fed as many people as what we are feeding now. People are coming to us that, you know, you just wouldn't expect people to be coming to you. So, and we've never given out more than 1,000 food boxes in a year, and yet we are now. You know, these are 1,000 food boxes of hope that are going out to families that really need it. We'll click on to the next one. Now, this is, you know, to be honest, this is what it's about. You know, all the other stuff's great. You know, there's things that we've been saying, you know, and they're the practical things. But these are the real people's lives that are being, you know, touched here. I think it was Matt who first saw, did he look like that when you first saw him? Hardly recognize him. Yeah, he had a beard. He looked so down. He was threatening to kill himself. In fact, Matt rang me the following day and was just worried because he'd seen Michael cycling to, because he was threatening to go to Sawston, where the high-speed train comes across, and he could go across the track and actually kill himself. But this is his story now. I was feeling suicidal, but coming to Reach. And I'm not saying he was suicidal. Would you agree he was? You were really concerned, you know, and people have spent many hours with him, you know, turned his life around there, helping with my debts. It's a fantastic place. Now, the interesting thing is there really is he's a Jehovah's Witness, I believe. And so, you know, there's a faith there of some sorts. But of course, you know, that hasn't stopped others, you know, from the team who will actually sit with him and actually just offer to pray with him and just bring some hope, turn his life around. You know, if it saves one person, it's doing a really good job, isn't it? We'll go to the next one. Oh. Oh, that's right. It was right. I'm thinking, I'm jumping ahead. I'm thinking in my mind is, now I'm coming to the next one in a moment. I came to Reach with debt and they were so welcoming. Yep. And by the way, you'll see that there's about half a dozen on the, there's a couple of little banners at the back there. You've got Alex's story. And then just about half a dozen people who've been involved with Reach, either working with us, volunteering, or been a client. So, and she's one of them, Adele. And just the way in which, you know, that she's buzzing and my anxiety has dropped, which is great. It just gives people opportunity to start to really live their lives. You know, that ethos again of that abundant life. We'll carry on to the next one. If you wanted to know any more information, just to make it really easy, look, it is, it's reachhaverhill.org, you know, and if you just type in the word harvest, it would take you to, you know, the things that we're looking for, how you can get involved, or if you ever look at anything to do with Reach or anything like that, go on to the latest info page, because that's where we put everything. And I think on the bottom of the page there, if you wanted to have a newsletter, we're not always very good at getting newsletters out. It seems to be periodically with no particular pattern. But if you want to hear about what we're doing and how we're helping people, you know, do click on, you know, the and sign up, or come and speak to us anyway. We'll move on to the next one. Looking forward, and do you know what? I can go on and on and on about what we've done, and it's all very good. And I really do want to thank God for what he's done, because, you know, at times, you know, you think to yourself, we don't know where the money's going to come in from. And it can just, no wonder I'm grey, by the way, you know, so it's just, it is, It just concerns me. I think when we paid 9 people, I think it was at the end of August, I just thought, what are we doing? You know, and I didn't sleep that night. But anyway, that's another story. But you know what? God is amazing, and the way in which he continues to provide for us. So looking forward, because that's what's important. Where are we going? You know, where we're heading in the future. Location hubs. Do you know what? You know, I mentioned at the start and on purpose, you know, I've been talking to Matt and Amy, and they're talking about having a community hub here. What a brilliant idea. Fantastic that we can do something here and that we can actually begin to bring hope to people who need it here. So this is something that's really very much on our hearts, and we're hoping to get up and running. I wanted it up and running next week. But anyway, I think it's going to be a couple of weeks later than that. But that's something that we're really keen to do. Social enterprise. We need to generate some income, and that's something that's very much on our hearts at the moment. So, you know, watch this space. We might be asking for any bits and pieces that you don't need anymore, and we could sell them. Anyway, as a way of us generating money. Tackling the root causes of poverty. I won't go into too much on that, but that is very much in my heart. And I feel that God is taking me to a new chapter in my life personally, where I'm going to be involved in, you know, tackling the root causes, maybe with other organisations and other agencies. And, you know, I felt a real sense of privilege to be able to speak up on behalf of the poor, whether they'll listen or not to Matt Hancock, you know, whether that will actually make any difference or anything. But you never know. And if we don't, and the words I said to him as he left, I says, Matt, remember the poor. Remember the poor. That's biblical. Remember the poor. You know, when we tread on the poor, it comes back and bites. And you're also flying in the face of what God wants. So it's a good opportunity to speak with him. Move on to the next one. Okay, so I'll leave that up while I'm just sort of bringing into the next little bits and pieces here, really. So, because I said to you, at the start. So why is all this important? Why is all this important? Because I'm going to read from Scripture. It says this in Isaiah. Should we go on to the next one? And keep going. In fact, I can read it from the screen, can't I? Something that's often read at Christmas. But also, there's, I think in verse 3, it actually mentions harvest as well. But the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of death, that's what it says in the NIV, but another way of translating that would be, or darkness, a light has dawned. The people walking in darkness and despair. Okay, so darkness and despair. Now, if you look around how many people there are here in this room, and let's say, for instance, we're all keen and we're all experiencing this grace, love, and, you know, righteousness that Christ offers, you know, this abundant life, we're all living it here. You've only got to go on the outside and realize that there are thousands and thousands and thousands more that might be actually living in a little bit of darkness. You don't always see it. But like when Michael came along to us, his head was down. He wasn't shaven. He got a real long beard, I believe, hadn't he? Yeah, and he looked a real mess. And, you know, so different. We'll go on to the next one. This is Michael now. As I say, you just wouldn't recognise. Well, did you recognise him? Totally different from when we first saw him. You know, there's a man there who's got a smile on his face. You know, he's clean shaven. I did cut off the rest of his body because he's wearing shorts anyway. But anyway, that's enough. But he was just so, he's just got a bit of life back to him. Now, obviously, it would be getting good to get him to the next stages, but, you know, just one step at a time. Suicidal thoughts. Now, that, in my mind, speaks of, you know, the people walking in darkness, the people walking in death, the people walking in a, you know, they're not experiencing this abundant life, this Christ-like life that we speak of. So when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, you know, that we can have abundant life, all this is what he's done for, he is not experiencing this because of the awful stuff that just gets thrown at him. And there are so many other people who are experiencing the same kinds of things. So, for instance, you know, it could be drugs, you know, domestic violence. I mean, often it can go unchecked because women won't speak about it because they're afraid that they'll lose everything. Domestic violence is happening in our town. Mental health and depression is off the chart. People just anxious, people isolated, people lonely, who live in a sense of despair and darkness and just don't have anyone to actually reach out to. I'm going to run on to one more person. Now, I don't know if you recognise him, Paul. Does he look different? I'm going to see him in a week or so's time because I want a little bit of a story on him. Because we've got an old picture of him when he was working with us, did a little bit of volunteering, he came along to our little community group. And the things that he said about himself, I won't repeat everything that he would repeat about himself, but it was full of expletives. But when he said he hated himself, it was with such viciousness. I hate myself. Every morning I look in a mirror and I want to smash that face into that person there. And if my sister came home with a bloke like me, I'd smash his face. It was just a real sense of despair. And yet, you know, I was able to, my prayer for him was at the time was that he might just begin to move a little bit away from hating himself and beginning to start believing for something better. It's one of our values, by the way. We speak of believing for something better because, you know, we've all got a story of somewhere where we're actually believing for something a little bit better, and it's looking forward to that promised land, that promise of God, you know, that sense of moving forward. And so, you know, Sean, we've helped him through it, and we got him onto a program which took him down to Weston-super-Mare, and I think he fell off the program at one point, and then we never heard another word from him for a very long time. In fact, I think we would safely say we actually thought he was dead. You know, that's often, sadly, we do have a number of clients who do take their own lives because they just don't see any other way out. And then he appeared one time at the resource centre, and it was just amazing to see him, and now living the other side of Suffolk. And I spoke to him only on Friday, and he'd be more than happy to tell his story. And he said, I'm more than 500 days completely free of all drugs, which is amazing. He's now working, it's okay, it's 0 hours contract, but he's now working as a support worker, you know, in the community where he lives. Isn't that amazing what God can do? Now, he came amongst us for a period of time, and we begin to just bring a little bit of hope and, you know, just begin to impart something of life that can make a difference to this man. He's also got a girlfriend as well. He's got a partner. And for him, that was, forget it, no way. That was never going to happen. And yet, you know, he's got this life. That does not look like him. You know, when I remember, you know, I just hardly recognize him at all. We're going to turn. So why is all this important? Because this is the bit that's really important, okay? We're going to move on to the next one. Because it says up there, this is what Jesus said, you know, in Matthew's gospel. He says, you are the light of the world. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his listeners. So he's talking to, we can include ourselves in there. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. What next one? In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. There's a responsibility there, isn't there? We are a light to the world. You know, there was somebody who came along, I think it might have been Jen from C3, when we were, I think we were still meeting at Samuel Ward in those days, and she said, you are, you know, a light on a hill. You are, you know, you're the ones to make a difference. You're to bring light into the darkness. Pete Butt, 18 months ago, he came and he spoke on Ezekiel 47. He says, you are river of life. If you look what happens in river of life in Ezekiel 47, it says the water flows east. And it's bringing that kingdom life into people's lives and making a difference. There's a theme here, isn't there? You know, that we are the people of God. We are, let's just go back one more, Mark, because it says on there, you are the light of the world. We are a light to the world. We are a light to Hayville. There are people living in darkness. There are people living in despair in our road, in our communities. And we are a light to the world. We owe it to the people of this town, you know, to bring something of that Christ-like life, that abundant life that Jesus offers, bringing it to people who don't even know this Christ-like life that can transform us. It can lift us from a warrior into a person of confidence and faith. It can turn a drug addict into someone who knows that there is hope and a future. It can turn a thief into someone who can, you know, just no longer, you know, be not trusted with money, but suddenly be able to. The alcoholic who was desperate, you know, struggling with alcohol, and yet a life in Christ, you know, can transform. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ that can transform lives. You know, and I'm proud that we're Christians here. We can actually make a difference, and we can make a difference. Let's be the people of God. You know, in our society, and I'm just going to mention just a couple of little things here. So much is being automated. So much is being done for people who can understand it. So in other words, I was at a meeting back in September, and they said, oh, would you take these leaflets around? Because if people have got mental health, we'd like, you know, there's a leaflet here, which you can now go online and actually get help for mental health. And I said, is that really going to help anybody? It might do, it might help a few. But what I found is that people need people. People really need people. Do you know what? If you've got drugs, if you're suffering with drugs and alcohol here in Hayville, and you want help and you're desperate for help, do you know what you've got to do? You've got to get on a bus and you've got to make an appointment at Bury St. Edmunds before you can get an appointment. Good luck, folks. Good luck. Because if you're feeling, you know, are you thinking, oh, £6-7 to put on the bus, or shall I go and buy some more stuff? Some more gear, apparently, it's called, isn't it? Or something. you know, what are they going to do? And yet, you know, one of the things that I would dream of doing is that we've got people who said, look, come alongside and say, you've got a problem? Let's walk together. I can't solve your problem, but I can walk you through it. I can actually help you through it. And so, you know, maybe that's something, I won't go down that route, but you see what I'm saying, you know, there's opportunities. I don't know, if you're a patient at Clements Surgery or Christmas Maltins, check out online. You need to check out the online booking system, because if you're ill, you've got to go through a half an hour process of actually booking in. Now, it's going to be good. I'll be glad of it, you know, to sit at home on a Sunday night if I've got to book an appointment. But if I'm ill, I won't want to be sitting doing it. You know, and Anne said I was quite sort of feisty with the lady, you know, on Thursday. I was feisty, right, okay, yeah. And, you know, just in a sense of, but what about the poor? What about those who can't read or write? What about those who can't actually do it? You know, some people are going to need to be walking alongside here, because unfortunately, the society means that the voiceless, the quiet, the poor are getting left behind. And we've got an opportunity to stand with the poor and the needy. God says, you know, speak up for those who don't have a voice. Defend the rights of the poor and needy in our community, the widows, the fatherless. And God is on the side of the poor. So, you know, yes, it's great that we give thanks to God for the harvest, and I really do, you know, want to give thanks to God for the amazing abundance that, you know, we're seeing. But, you know, there's a great, great work to be done. The harvest, when I say is plentiful, that's the biggest understatement that I can actually state. The harvest is massively plentiful around us. I saw online, and I really will finish in a moment. I saw online last night, there's a church in Cambridge it's leaving its building for the day. The church is leaving its building for the day and going into the community. What a great idea. You know, instead of, you know, being together, the church is out on the street, is actually doing something in the community. Maybe there's things there, you know, that things that can be done. Terrify me, by the way. But anyway, I'm just going to finish with a song. Father God, we just want to offer up to you ourselves afresh as the people of God in our town that can possibly make a difference. Help us, Lord, to be bold, to be courageous where we need to. Fill us afresh with fresh vision and a sense of, you know, calling and purpose, that we might be able to lift people out of poverty, but not just poverty. There's poverty of spirit. There's poverty in terms of the gospel as well, that people might have an opportunity to know that there is a God that loves them. There is hope out there. Lord God, we pray, oh God, that you would use us. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing provision for us. God, we need you to continue doing it, because we won't be here this time next year if it doesn't happen. But Lord, we pray that you will provide for us and help us to be the people of God that you've called us to be, in Jesus' name.
Right.